Chairman, sir, Honorable the President of the Senate, Honorable Ministers, Your Worship, the Mayor of Colombo, ladies and gentlemen. It is relevant for us to remind ourselves on this solemn and stately occasion that the Moors' Islamic cultural home is in direct line of descent from the Moors' Union, founded in 1900, of which ILM Abdulaziz was the first president, and he was president for 15 long years. It is therefore in the fitness of things that today's ceremony should be sponsored by the cultural home. It has been rightly stated, and it has proved true, that a community that fails to honor its heroes tends to lose its capacity to nurture heroes in its midst. By exposing the figure of Abdulaziz to public view, by reviving his image, by bringing his name to the notice of the present generation of Muslims and Sinhalese in general, the Moors Islamic cultural home has indeed earned the deep gratitude of the Muslims in general and the Ceylon Moors in particular. It is most appropriate that at this ceremony, Sir Razik Farid should officiate as chairman. He is the life president of the cultural home. Sir Razik Farid is also the father of the government Muslim school, through which alone the community could have progressed in general education. And general education via Quran schools, reformed and remodeled, had been strongly advocated by Abdulaziz as the sure road to the progress of his people. Therefore, to this office of today's chairman, Sir Razik Farid has a superior claim. He called me very generously an eminent scholar. I thank him for it, but as a humble votary of Clio, a mere student of history, yet diligent, I would venture the prediction that Sir Razik Farid will be remembered by generations unborn. He will live in the history of Ceylon as the father of the government Muslim school. I must not fail to thank on this occasion Mr. Muhammad Samir bin Haji Ismail Effendi, former managing trustee of the Maradana Mosque and author of a short sketch on the life of ILM Abdulaziz. His advice I sought and his help I obtained in the preparation of this somewhat long address, for the length of which, don't blame me, but blame Mr. Markan Marka. I found Mr. Samir not only a biographer, but a Boswell in addition. He related to me many incidents in the life of Abdulaziz which would illumine the pages of a definitive biography. He surprised me a few weeks back with two of my own letters, and thereby resurrected in my memory 34 years old events. One was written in 1933 as a resident tutor at Zahiro Hostel, and the other in 1935 as a civil service cadet at Kandy. In the earlier one, I had asked for access to Mr. Samir's papers and documents with a view to enhancing my knowledge of Abdulaziz. In the other, I had reluctantly informed him of my decision to abandon the quest temporarily because of the pending efficiency bar examination. In the concluding portion of the letter, which had faded from my mind, I confronted my own sentiments towards Abdulaziz. He gave me more than my name. The genesis of my name is implicit in that second letter. Abdulaziz and my paternal uncle, Asnalab Alim Pulavar, who was for a few years in the 90s working at the PWD head office as a member of the General Clerical Service, they were great friends. Their common interests in the field of Islamic philosophy, Tamil literature and Arabic language drew them towards each other. Even after his return to Jaffna, my uncle on transfer maintained correspondence with Abdulaziz and followed from year to year with friendly pride the public activities of Abdulaziz. My uncle lovingly bestowed on me the name of his good friend Abdulaziz. I have given these autobiographical details, which in normal circumstances would be considered immodest and even unbecoming, in order to explain how sentimentally affected I am on this occasion to be in a position to pay my humble tribute to one whose name I happen to bear. I owe a deep debt of gratitude to the Board of Trustees of the Cultural Home, and especially to Mr. A.H. Markan Marker, its Honorary Joint Secretary, for their kind invitation that I deliver this birth centenary address. Let me say in the words of the motto of an institution dear to my heart, Alhamdulillah. Over 50 years have already elapsed since its demise on the 11th September in the year 1915. The current controversies that engaged his contemporaries and co-religionists, controversies, some of them born of jealousy, some characterized by acrimony, some of both, some fruitless and of no value, and yet some pregnant with consequences of far-reaching import. All of them have alike receded into history. And today, we who live at this distant date are possessed of the hindsight that would enable us to deal with the events of his life and his period detachedly and objectively, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to distinguish between the essentials and the non-essentials. We are therefore in a position to appraise justly the role of Abdul Aziz in the history of modern Ceylon. Today is the birth centenary of ILM Abdul Aziz, the president of the Moors Union, the editor of the Muslim Guardian, the trustee of the Maradana Mosque, the promoter of education among his co-religionists, and the author of an authoritative volume which once and for all dispelled the mistaken ideas that has prevailed as regards the origin and history of that section of the Mohammedan population of Ceylon which is called by the name of Ceylon Moors. For this purpose, it is necessary, ladies and gentlemen, to assess his legacy, understand his milieu, and discover the prominent personalities who tremendously influenced his public life. The beginning is best made from a distant date in the year 1498, when Vasco da Gama landed at Calicut and later defeated the fleets of the Zamorin and his allies under the command of Arab Muslim admirals. As a result of this European advent in the Indian Ocean, the Arab Muslims suffered irretrievable defeat. They could no longer hold sway over the seas from Mombasa to Malacca and beyond. By this, the Moors of Ceylon were the most adversely affected. They were to the Portuguese accursed Saracens and inveterate enemies. Soon, the Moors lost their commercial monopoly and political power. They were persecuted cruelly and relentlessly. To the Dutch, they were the detested race and trade rivals. They were crippled by the iniquitous laws enacted by the Dutch against them. They who were once merchants and mariners with flourishing settlements along the coast of Ceylon were now compelled to go underground and lead an inland existence as farmers or hawkers. Such indeed was their cruel fate. During the British period, the Moors of Ceylon began to regain to an extent the commercial prosperity which was once solely theirs. Yet, they could not benefit from the new opportunities of investment and employment created by the rise of the plantations, religiously obscurantist, intellectually sterile, and politically insignificant. Yet, their cultural identity remained on account of their socio-religious organization centered in the Juma Mosque and guided by the alims learned in Arabic and Islam. But due to their willful neglect of English education, the Muslims found themselves in a state of perpetual inferiority in the general life of the country. The Buddhists and the Hindus had themselves been confronted with the same dilemma of depriving themselves of the material benefits available if they were not prepared to receive English education in a culturally alien atmosphere. They were endeavoring to solve this problem in the only way possible, by the establishment of educational institutions of their own. The Indian Muslims had already set an example by the inauguration during the 8th decade of the Aligarh movement. Without similar efforts, the Muslims of Ceylon would be in grave peril. In this hour of need appeared Siddhi Labbe. In May 1884, he settled down in Colombo.
having deliberately relinquished his lucrative practice as proctor at Kandy. He had met Arabi Pasha, the Egyptian exile, within 12 days of his arrival on the 11th of January 1883, and obtained from Arabi his assurance of active patronage in the promotion of English education. He had the promise of full support from his good friend Vapji Marika, who would exert to the utmost his influence among the Muslims of Colombo as one of their most trusted and respected leaders, use his money and time unsparingly for education. The inauguration ceremony connected with the establishment of the Anglo-Mohammedan school, which took place on the 15th of November 1884 in the school hall at Newmore Street, was an event pregnant with far-reaching consequences. It was a clear indication that the community had woken from its long slumber. Sidi Lebbe explained the objectives convincingly and appealed for financial support for this institution, which had as its name Al-Madrasatul Hayriyatul Islamiyya, a name chosen by Arabi Pasha. Vapji Marika topped the list with a magnificent gift of a property worth 3,000 rupees. While further benefactions were being announced, Arabi Pasha made his own contribution of 100 rupees, humbly explaining that the paltry sum was the maximum amount that he could then afford because of his meager monthly allowances. He made a moving speech, quickened with quotations from the Holy Quran and Hadiths. This produced an electric effect on the audience. Leaders of warring parties, whose long-drawn cases were still pending in the District Court of Colombo, sought immediate reconciliation. With tear-filled eyes, they gave salams to each other. The circumstances looked propitious for the future of the school. There was a general feeling that a new era had dawned. We are fortunate in having an eyewitness account of this most touching sight, and these are some of Sidi Lebbe's own words. Arabi Pasha and Savaile Pesia Saduriamana Alangara Pechinal, Savayar Manam Urihi, Atalameana Manidarhal Ure Muraya Elumpi Niringi, Tangal Kankaliran, the Kanir Surya, Avarhal Uruvar Kurvar, Kainutik Salam Sulikundarhal. அந்த கண்ணீர் அங்கு கூடியவர்கள் எல்லோர் மனதையும் குளிரச் செய்தது. அந்த கண்ணீர் அவர்கள் மனதிலிருந்த ஹசத் என்னும் கரையை கழுவிவிட்டது. அப்போது அந்த சபையில் உள்ள எல்லோரும் ஒருவருக்கொருவர் சலாம் சொல்ல துவங்கினார்கள். அந்நேரத்தில் சபையில் உள்ளவர்களுக்கு உண்டாகி இருந்த மகிழ்ச்சியை எவ்வளவென்று நம்மால் சொல்ல முடியாது. Arabi Pasha thus did put an end to the enmity that had prevailed so long and so deep to the utter ruination of the community. His deep concern for unity among the Muslims evidenced that day connoted the compelling power of Islamic Brotherhood. As far as Abdul Aziz was concerned, from that day Egypt came within his ken, and with it came Istanbul, the capital of Turkey and the seat of the Caliphate. Arabi Pasha left in 1901. In the farewells, Abdul Aziz described Arabi Pasha as a kind father and affectionate friend to the Muslims, for whose progress he worked assiduously and successfully during all the years of his stay in Ceylon, which lasted nearly two decades. In such terms did Abdul Aziz appraise Arabi Pasha. Arabi Pasha was his hero. In Arabi Pasha, Abdul Aziz saw the practical expression at its best of the high concept of Islamic Brotherhood, a quality which he naturally endeavored to emulate. This explains his involvement in the affairs of the Sultan of Turkey, who was the Khalifa of Islam. In his lecture in celebration of the Silver Jubilee of Sultan Abdul Hamid Khan, delivered on the 31st of August 1900, Abdul Aziz reminded the audience of the recital of the Sultan's name on every Friday in all the Jummah mosques of Ceylon. Through the columns of the Muslim Guardian, he invited donations for the Hijaz Railway intended to connect Damascus with Medina. As a result, the fortunes of the railway were followed with fervor, and its completion in 1908 was celebrated enthusiastically in Colombo. On the 29th of October 1912, under the chairmanship of Haji Muhammad Makan Maka Effendi, Consul for Turkey, Abdul Aziz delivered an illuminating address on the theme of conflict between the cross and the crescent. On reading the full text today in the light of subsequent events, one is truly amazed to find that Abdulaziz, who at school had not gone beyond the sixth standard, had such profound knowledge of world history and such a fine grasp of international affairs. If Arabi Pasha was his hero, he was somewhat distant. Close was his relationship with Siddilembe. Abdulaziz was an ardent admirer who became his good disciple since his arrival in Colombo. He soon grew to be an able collaborator. When Siddilembe needed someone to take his place as editor of the Muslim Nation in 1889, he chose Abdulaziz. In this and many other respects, a worthy successor he proved. He carried on Siddilembe's educational crusade for the sake of his co-religionists. In later years, Abdulaziz not only justified the attitude of Siddilembe in regard to the law relating to the registration of Muslim marriages, but also urged the necessity for legislation in regard to the registration of divorces, despite opposition from a powerful group. In a series of pamphlets entitled Satin Jnanartham, the metaphysical meaning of force, he affirmed the views relating to force and matter contained in Siddilembe's Asrarul Alam, his magnum opus, a volume on Islamic philosophy. The salient aspects of this burning question, the chief topic of the day, are found in a series of four editorials written by Abdulaziz with the title Asrarul Alamum, Alukkarulla Alimum, appearing in the fourth volume of the Muslim Guardian. There he controverted, point by point, the many polemists, some of them ill-equipped in knowledge and virtue, and some wanting in character and capacity, and all of them, all these polemists, ranged posthumously against Siddilembe and his work. These polemists had flooded the market with their fatwas, handbills, pamphlets, booklets, and even a book or two. Abdulaziz dealt with them all with the dialectical skill of a scholastic long trained in disputation. Such was his able defense, so completely were they worsted. Abdulaziz explained, Sattu kuniye Sat Andri Kunam Sifat Alla Sadapurul Satin Valitotame Andri Sat Sadapurul Lamenda Kunamalla Andrum Attachi Padatinom Kunamum Tolilum at the Tanmail Ede Siddilembe Avargal Erka Vastu and the Solukraro Ade Avar Kunamum Tolilum Petirkra Tanmail Satan Solukra and Badu Pulap Padagradu.